A couple of things that I do like about this program is the program options, as I call them. There is an opt-in program, so you as a parent can choose to have your son or daughter opt into our program and be tested every time. And I know that in talking over with Eric and Avon, and actually I talked to Mr. Law about this as well, he opts his son in. So his son gets tested every time they do a test. So that's an option that we have. We can do that. The other program that both North Olmsted and Avon do is a self-referral. So before the test is, before that day where the test is, if a student comes to myself or to Paul and says, look, I made a bad decision. I did something I wasn't supposed to. If we have a drug test tomorrow, I'm not going to pass. To me, that's what this is all about. That's the educational. You have a student that identified that he made, or she made a bad decision, we can start the help process at that particular time. And we go right, you know, to getting them help. Don't put them in a penalized program, in a penal program, and get them the help. Now, the penalty, I guess, would be that we're gonna put them into the drug testing for my proposal would be the next 5 tests. To make sure that what we're doing as far as education and treatment is working, as opposed to somebody just, you know, saying, well, I screwed up, and I'm gonna get out of this test, okay? Now I know I'm out of this test, so I'm gonna go to the next test. So I think that, you know, that probably is something that we will tweak, but I like those two options as well. I just put this in there in your package, just so if you're not familiar with our current drug and alcohol policy, use of possession, first offense, we deny participation in 20% of the remaining regular scheduled contests, which can include tournaments as well. I will tell you that from an athletic standpoint, on a yearly basis, I would say we average 3 or 4 since I've been here 8 years. That is my 8th year. So this is not something that I deal with all the time, every day, every week. But it is, you know, it is something that we do deal with. We do require that the student athlete and the parent do meet with our chemical abuse prevention coordinator. I think their title is now a little bit different for that, but that is Kathy McGinty at our high school. But they also have the option to meet with a private person. We just need to have proof that that meeting has occurred. Also, the student athlete may be subject to other student conduct under Mr. Wilson. Obviously, we don't want them to have a second offense, but if the second offense occurs, they would be out for the season. And we do take selling and supplying very seriously. That is an automatic season-long suspension. And so that's kind of just a general rundown. It does affect some other things. If they get suspended from a team, that doesn't qualify them for a PE waiver. So there are some secondary penalties that go along with doing that. I would propose, too, that any student-athlete, at least from my standpoint, student-athlete that has a positive drug test will be required to participate in the next 5 tests. So that's something that I think, if we are doing what we've said we're going to do, which is to help kids, doing one is not, you know, I don't think that's the way we want to do. If somebody tests positive, we want to make sure they're staying in line with what we're trying to do. And if the current policy is for in-season athletes only, I'm looking, I think that both Eric and Mike have indicated that they do it full year. So from the first day of practice to the last day of school, which I think, again, we can't control them in the summer, but we sure can do something while they're here and make sure that they're doing the right things while they're here. Proposed costs, that's always a big thing. Okay, a 10-panel drug test starter is $20. Obviously, as Kyle said, you know, you go less. We can do it however you want. I think, you know, I would hope that cost isn't a factor. I know, you know, we got to take into consideration all those. But I have a proposal to provide no more than $11,000 per year. As I was talking to Kyle, you know, there's times where, you know, you say you're going to do 60, but you have kids that are absent or kids that are on field trips and those sorts of things. So you do have an alternate list to pull from, but sometimes even an alternate list, it's a big field trip day, those sorts of things. So if we did 540 random tests per year, it would come out to $10,800. I propose that if somebody wants to opt their student in, that they would foot that bill. If it's $20, or if it's a less than 10 panel test, they would foot that bill if that's what they choose. I also would propose that if you do test positive, your next final test, you have to pay for that. I don't think that maybe we should pay for it, I don't know. But again, that's a monetary thing. I'm sure that's something that you guys can discuss. So my conclusion, this is about educating students to make better decisions. It's not about catching students. We're not trying to do that. We're providing students a reason to say no. This is about our kids and their lives and our community and our school. And I think this is a good thing and not a negative thing. I know some people will look at it as a negative thing, and I also think we have great resources here getting to know Scott Forkamp, Kathy McGinty. Scott is about helping kids. Scott is not about arresting kids and putting them in jail for drugs. Scott wants to help kids. I know Mr. Easel's here. I had a great conversation with him. I wasn't aware that he's involved at a level here. And I think we have a lot of resources in Westlake that we can help our students make better decisions and stay on the path that they need to. So I know that was a very long presentation, but I do think this is a very important issue. And I would welcome any questions at this time, or we can move on.
I have one more question. What are the other schools?
Do they
do the
testing
of 10
drugs,
or are they 5?
I think most of the schools do 5. I'm talking to Eric and Mike.
Do you think that the 10 is overkill, or?
Personally, I think when you look at the list of drugs, I think that this community and my conversation with Scott, you're seeing a lot of them. So, I mean, we can rotate them. I'm not locked into the 10 panel. I mean, that was my proposal. But as their program says, we can pick and choose. So I think that's a really good option.
Couple of questions. I know one of the things that we've all talked about, we don't want this to be a gotcha program. And when you look at the page that has, you know, just kind of the level of consequences that go along with their policy and that sort of thing, when they're denied participation for that first one, I mean, it is a gotcha. You're not automatically just going to treatment. There is a consequence. And so one of the things I was intrigued by is that North Olmsted doesn't do that for the first offense. For the first offense, they do not deny them from being on the team. So I thought that was very interesting, and it might be something worth considering as long as they're getting treatment, that sort of thing. So maybe even learning more about how North Olmsted handles that. I did like when you talked about, I don't think you said it tonight, that even if they're off that 20% of the season, that the kids they're getting help, they're coming and practicing, coaches are still including them because they don't want them to lose out on it. They want them to still remain an active part of the team. So that's something for us.
Yes, I think that is something that I have encouraged, and I think I told this story to you that, you know, I've been at the collegiate level, so I've seen the NCAA drug testing, which is a lot more strict and stringent, and you can pick out people that you want to test at that level. I had a wrestler that I was sure was using. We had him tested. Of course, he was using, and it was brought to by our teammates that said, "Hey, look, this kid's using. We got him help." He didn't graduate from the college I was at, but he went to transfer to a different college, became a multi-time All-American, became a head college coach. So I'm sure he's using his experience of what that. And I'd like to think that I had some small part of it in getting him on the right track. Mm-hmm. You know, when we have kids that get in trouble here, it's not like go away, we don't want you on the team. When I talk to a coach, I say, look, it's good for this kid to be in the structure. Even if he can't be out there competing, he can practice. Unless it's a crazy case, but he can practice, he can do stats, he can film, he can there's a lot of things that somebody can do to help a team and be a part of a team without competing. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, that helps a kid say, man, I want to be out there, so I better make some better decisions here, because I want to be out there with the rest of the guys I'm working with every day.
Right, right. And then I appreciate, too, that you put in some details about what are some of the ways that the district would have, and working with Chemical Abuse Prevention Coordinator, who is Kathy McGinty, and you talk about a pre-assessment conference. What are the next steps? I mean, have you talked about what the next steps are?
I will say that once that conference, I only get confirmation at that conference. Whatever happens after that, that's between the students and Kathy or whoever she gets referred to. So I am out of that point. I know all those are Kathy.
Kathy's the gatekeeper of that information. She
shares,
you know, she works, as the question was, confidentiality.
Yeah.
She holds that confidentiality as well with our students and really working with them to try to get them the help and support, and oftentimes getting parents the help and support that they need to help as well.
Okay, wonderful. One last question. Who's going to decide what the panel is? One of the things, you know, just from talking to people who maybe have drug testing at their school and they're not testing for alcohol, to me, that just seems the drug of choice for many of our students. They really aren't using drugs, but alcohol, hey, it's safe, it is legal if you're over 21, that sort of thing. So I guess my gut would be, without any statistics behind it, that alcohol should be something that we test for. Am I wrong in that? I don't know
the
information we have.
I think Kyle mentioned that is a little bit more expensive test.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also depends on when you do it. Mm-hmm. So I know there is a school, and I won't say the school's name, but I know there is a school that typically likes to have a test on a Monday after a big dance.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I think that is something that we could put in. We could do that. I would agree with you that I think we were all in high school and have seen alcohol. I don't think it's gone away since we were in high school.
And I think it's important to note, I mean, we're into January. This is a proposal for August. So we're very much happy with the timeline for this. So those are things that we're not asking you this question in July. Mm-hmm. We think we can work towards these and answer those questions. Perhaps we talk to our PTAs, perhaps Tony Clark from WDAB, his student youth or his student leadership group. I mean, we're there and we have the opportunity to really solicit feedback that, you know, thus the more of the other night. So we're in a good spot time-wise.
I think the other thing that Paul mentioned the other night, and I think you heard, that we have talked about, is that if this program is approved by you, it is our intent to have class meetings and to explain it to the kids why we're in this year. So we would meet with the junior, sophomore, freshman class. If we were doing 7th and 8th graders, I think that's a little bit of a different conversation, and I think we need to probably have another forum at that level, because I think there will be some people that just don't know what we're doing, because the forum the other night was really targeted at our high school families. And just through that conversation, I know, you know, when Mr. Kraft had asked the crowd, you know, what they thought, and they all raised their hand, that kind of took me back, because we hadn't talked about that. We talked a little bit about that, but we thought maybe we'd go down to 12. But I think educating what we're doing, and like Eric and Mike both said, that once we told them what we're doing, and once we did it once, and everybody understood it. And so, like Eric said, they kind of did it backwards. They kind of put it in and then had it for them, where I think we're doing it the right way, which is listening to what everybody's comments and concerns are and trying to craft it so we can be productive with it.
We've communicated through blasts, through the forum. We had some community members, Mr. Esau had some questions, he sat down with Tony. We're more than willing to do that. And Mr. Breeder has been great giving us information that we provided, and we have some copies there for everybody. So we're really looking forward to the process, and like I said, we view it as an opportunity.
Any other questions from the board?
Earlier, you talked about some of the
I think maybe it's our current policy is to supply where they're automatically removed from the team for the season. I guess that's what, and my question is so theoretically, if someone's not dealing in the fall, they're kicked off whatever sport they're in, but they could go out for winter sport or spring sport and kind of the slate's clean and everything's good. But granted, depending on what the other additional school policies are for dealing, and if there's any criminal activity. I get the students that make that decision, but the people that are supplying, that's a bad decision every single day they're doing. So that's why I kind of wonder whether or not I get that kids make mistakes from time to time, but at the same point, if someone's making mistakes all the time, if they're supplying, sometimes you do have to lose the
And supplying is a different level. I mean, supplying oftentimes would be a Stockport camp, you know, charges, and working through juvenile court. So there are different charges there. I think one of the nice things that Tony has done and does with his program is we have a situation where that happens. Oftentimes, it's a student who needs structure. It's a student who maybe doesn't have home support. And once again, we're not a gotcha. We're there. We love the kids that we have. So what Tony has worked out in some instances is you cannot participate at all. You will never dress, you will never do those things. But you can stay in practice, you can stay and be, you know, and the coach, you can stay and be a member of the team. The coach sometimes will put different parameters and expectations while we're still working. So we're providing them that structure. We're working with Kathy McGinty. And once again, while there are charges out there, we will work with students as long as, once again, we're not saying, oh, great. But we are saying, hey, there are opportunities, take advantage of these opportunities. But sometimes they might fall through and not follow through, and then obviously we change that. But we are, there are different consequences for sure.
Thank you. The proposal does not necessarily cover all pay to play, correct?
No, it would not.
And just a further discussion, with regards to what Dr. Winter brought up, I know that a couple of communities that joined me the other night their policy is to have a breathalyzer at each dance, as an example. We do get questions about the overreach that this might be. And I realize that we are here because we love our kids and we want our kids to be safe and we want to help our children and our students make the right decision. I think about that overreach, and in one particular case is, well, board member, why don't you submit to that? And can a board member say, throw me in the pool for the good of the city or the school? I'm assuming the answer is yes.
I'll be first.
As long as I pay for it.
and Mr. Kraft, just so you, and I don't think any of us have a question about that potentially breathalyzing. I feel like a lot of that can be squared up how you systematically enter, and I welcome anybody. When we have dances here, when we have proms, that is very structured. As far as students have to pass by no less in the dances that I've set up, and I know Tim as well, 4 to 6 adults in single file, shake hands. So I feel like in those instances, a lot of that can be taken care of there when it comes to alcohol and things like that. So I'm very comfortable with how that's set up currently with that structure. I don't think we're there.
Just what are the next steps?
I guess it's really just kind of being able to present to the board tonight. You guys get an idea. We'll continue to work with Mr. Cipollone and Mr. Wilson and others to build a proposal for you that will be able to be more specific. I guess what we didn't want to do, we wanted to try and gauge the feedback here, and the feedback from the board seems to be pretty positive, and I just don't want them to put together something too deep when it's not something that we are looking to move into in the near future. So I'd say as we go through this year and we get to near the end of the year, this gives an opportunity for them to speak to students, and then we can bring an official proposal back at a later date, probably anything like April-ish.
We would like to have the opportunity, once again, communication being key, to talk with the students before they meet, one, like a ninth grade assembly, 10th grade, and explain the answers. They're going to have lots of questions, and that's where, and usually we will have the answers.
And also, I really like what Mr. Sepulveda said about if it is, if we are thinking of moving it down to the middle school, it is going to be very important for them to build some time in to hold a forum with them as well. And I'll tell you, going through this, one of the things that we like to do is take a step into something before we, you know, completely go straight down the line. Our concern in our discussion was we've never done this before. We as previous people have done it, we'll say, and Tony mentioned, that the first year is the hardest year. So our thought at first was, let's do it for a year. Let's work out some of the bugs and then expand it if we choose to expand at that time. I think that was the plan going in. That's what I've been talking about and presenting. But if there is really, really strong feelings and feedback that parents would like to see at the middle school, it is definitely something we would consider.
Seems like there's a consensus then to have it moving forward.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Would the board policy subcommittee be involved in that as well?
Probably, yeah. You know, I've been searching through other districts who have it, and I don't know if they're putting in the administrative guidelines or if it's happening directly in the policy, because I looked at North Homestead and I looked at Avon as well and tried to search for drug testing. I didn't see it in there, but maybe I'm doing the wrong search. But I know Great Lakes provided us some samples, and we can go through those and work with NOLA to see what other policies they may have for that.
And so, I don't know. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if NOLA has some of this one or school districts ready to implement.
Well, I'm sure if other districts use NOLA, NOLA will create that policy. They won't put it on us to do it, but we should put that together. We have some other things to work on.
Thank you.
Thank you.